Social Post listeners, welcome to another amazing Friday. Can you believe that it's already half of the year gone? We're already in July, and I know that all of you are going to want to enjoy the amazing sun ringing in the summer, and we want to be there with you. But as you know, we felt like it was just yesterday that we hit 600 episodes of Social Pros. That's a feat within itself, but also we are on mark to hit 650 episodes by the end of this year. And to celebrate that, and to also ring in half of the year already done, we wanted to bring back our 600th episode special, where we invited back former hosts Jay Bear, Adam Brown, and previous guest Allison Day, Senior Manager Social Media at Reddit, to show all the insights and talk about all their predictions that they thought of for 2024, and how, you know, you can start over if you wanted to begin social from scratch this year. So with further ado, we hope you ring in not only an amazing Friday, but also learn new insights from this amazing episode that we had back in November. Without further ado, enjoy another episode from what we hope is your favorite podcast in the entire world, Social Pros.
Well, this is certainly an exciting day. We have, I don't know if it's a birthday, Hannah. I think it is kind of a birthday of sorts, although not the actual birthday of the show, but we are excited to celebrate something big and meaningful today.
Yes, I think we'll just call it a birthday so we can celebrate it appropriately.
Yep, there's cake and there may be drinks later. We'll just have to wait and see. At least we'll have to wait and see. We don't know that you'll be able to see if we are having drinks, but there is a lot to celebrate today. This is episode number 600 of this show, which is kind of crazy to say. We made it to the 600th of this very, very show. And there's a lot we're going to talk about today, of course, but instead of our usual format of a guest, we are welcoming an entire cadre, a whole panoply of guests on the show today who bear the distinction in some cases of being hosts and in some cases being guests, in some cases being both guests and past guests and past hosts. First and foremost, let's welcome back Adam Brown.
It is great to be here. 600 episodes. I almost feel 600. I think Allison and I were just talking about dog years right before we hit the record button. And I think if you take our number of combined years of actually being in social media as practitioners and you multiply, you will probably get 600. So I like that. Great to be here.
Yeah, I don't know that I've done ever 600 of anything for the most part, except involuntary things like breathing. So it is kind of remarkable. Although I haven't done all 600 of these, it is kind of crazy to be involved in it. Hannah, who else do we have on the roster today?
Well, we absolutely couldn't do a 600th episode without the incredible Jay Bear. So Jay, thanks for being with us today.
Great to be back, friends. Congratulations on 600 episodes. I remember Adam and I doing episode 500. It feels like yesterday. It also feels like a decade ago, depending on how much tequila I've consumed.
Agreed.
But keep on keeping on, Social Pros.
I don't know when episode 500 was, but it was exactly 500 episodes ago. So probably somewhere in the realm of a year.
A few years.
It's been a few years. Last but not least, a voice you'll recognize. She was on the show somewhat recently. We had such a great conversation. We couldn't help but invite her to come back, and not entirely sure why, but she said yes. So we welcome back Allison Day, of course, from Reddit.
Hi, what an honor to be back, especially for the 600th episode. Congrats, you guys. Super excited to be joining you today. I feel like so much has happened in the social media industry in the last 14 months that I have been on, so I'm excited to dig into it.
I'm just going to throw it out there and see if this is okay. I would just like to suggest, not my show, but I would like to suggest that Allison comes back for episode 1200 in the year 2035, if that's okay.
Yes, confirmed. Noting it down.
Sign me up.
Prepare yourself.
You have my verbal agreement. Yeah.
Perfect.
I almost feel like we could have Allison, we could have you back annually just to talk about the state of everything that crazy that's happened over the past year in the world, in culture, in society, on social, everything Reddit sees, everything in accelerated speed, light speed.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I feel like there is never a shortage of things to dig into on Reddit, on all the platforms. Would love to do some sort of like annual retrospective of everything that's happened and try to keep it as concise as possible.
we'll think about that. Well, we're going to talk about a lot of important things today, but we're going to mostly just have a lot of fun, kind of celebrate the milestone that we're at today, number 600. And we are going to talk a lot, at least a bit, about the changes in social since the guests were all on the show or hosted the show or last thought about social, or last were on social media, whatever the case may be. We are going to talk too about, it's going to be kind of a fun pivot, just talk about fresh starts. If we could start over, what would that look like? And that's sometimes fun to think about. And I think sometimes tempting to think about, indulge in, but we'll get to that later. To kick things off, we made up a half-baked little game called Love It or Over It. And the way this is going to work, since we have a few faces in the lineup today of guests, thought it'd be a good way just to get a quick point of view on a few platforms. So we're going to ask each guest about three different platform slash content type things to see if they currently love it or are over it, or maybe they're somewhere in between, and just get their point of view on that. So Hannah, are you ready?
Oh, I'm ready. Let's do it.
All right, Jay, I'm going to start with you. And the topic slash channel slash content type is Threads X Twitter. Love it or over it?
Over it. I started on Twitter when it started, when it was very conversational and short form, and it was really a writing contest and really was that water cooler, which is a very tropey thing to say. It is not that now. Now they're trying to allow, you know, full length videos and, you know, upload your ebook, which is a mysterious product decision to me. So it's just not a place I spend a lot of time anymore. I, like many, 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 many millions of people, was all in on Threads for about 45 minutes. Thought it was incredible. That was a truly memorable night because I reconnected with a lot of my OG marketing Twitter people from back in the day when blogging was all the rage. And it literally was like going to a high school reunion. It was amazing. That was one of my favorite nights in social media in the last decade. And literally it was a night. I think I posted 20 times on Threads in the first 36 hours, and I don't think I've posted since. So I think if nothing else, Elon Musk was right about that.
I mean, it's kind of like a high school reunion. You actually end up leaving early. You're like, oh my God, it's amazing to see everyone. You know, yeah. I'm tired.
It's 9:30. I got to go to bed. Yeah.
That's a good perspective. Allison, what do you think? Love it or over it? Threads X Twitter.
I'm going to agree with Jay. I'm going to say over it. I think it's been really hard for these platforms to find their footing. And definitely within like my social media consumption habits, it just feels like there isn't much of a place for them anymore. Twitter for me was a platform for following, I would say, more topics versus people I know. But I now do that on platforms like Reddit or TikTok. And I think in terms of Threads, like the audience that has migrated over from Instagram is just not one that I really want to hear from. I think Twitter/X has lost its culture. And I think Threads has yet to really define what its culture is. And I think, you know, maybe it'll kind of fumble along until it figures it out. So I'm holding out a little bit of hope, but for now it's an over it for me.
Yeah, I heard someone say about Threads, you know, I follow people on Instagram to see how they see the world, not necessarily to see how they feel and write about the world, which is a different thing. And that maybe is the reason why it just doesn't translate quite the same, at least not person by person.
So you're saying it's Google Plus 2.0. Makes sense.
Maybe. Yeah. Could be. Adam, what do you think? Threads, Twitter, over it?
I think we're 3 for 3 for over it. With Threads, it was unable to sustain that early momentum. And as Jay articulated, that early momentum lasted about 48 hours. I have an asterisk next to that because I think once they properly integrate Threads with Instagram, I mean, kind of what Twitter should have done with Vine. I mean, am I right? I think that could give Threads a little bit of a lease on life. In terms of Twitter, I think it's so sad. I was very early on Twitter. I remember being there at South by Southwest when Twitter was launched. I've lost faith. I think it was really revealing for this as well as a larger topic when we saw Apple earlier this week, you know, say they're backing away from social customer service. And for me, I really read that as we're backing away from X in a variety of different ways, but over both of them.
Yeah, I mean, it is for a lot of companies, airlines, hotels, Twitter was kind of like social customer service place to be. I mean, even now, but Delta's moved away from that. You kind of, they're forced, at least if you're on iMessage on an iPhone, you're kind of forced to text them, which is frankly better than trying to DM them on Twitter. But yeah, interesting. So 3 for 3. If I had to throw my hat in the ring, I probably would make it 4 for 4. I was never super in love with Twitter to begin with, but so my vote may be a bit jaded, I would say. But hosts don't get to vote. Hannah, why don't we talk about LinkedIn?
I would love to. For the record, I think we'd be 5 for 5, so good. We're going to talk about LinkedIn next as a platform. We're seeing a lot of evolution here with the types of content that is getting posted, the voices in the conversation. I think there's been some really great changes on this platform. Interested to hear what you all think. Allison, let's start with you. Thoughts on LinkedIn as a platform?
LinkedIn as a platform, it is completely unhinged and uncomfortably earnest. And for that, I love it and I will never let go of it. I think it is really the only mainstay social platform that has a strong value prop for employer branding. So I think in terms of like corporate social programming, will always kind of punch above its weight. So I think it's one that will continue to evolve, but also sort of be a through line in most social media managers, you know, programs year over year.
I can say 5 years ago, I didn't think I'd hear someone describe LinkedIn as unhinged. So that is very exciting to me that we've evolved to this point.
Yes. And I'll do a quick plug for r/ LinkedIn lunatics, which is a subreddit where people just share screenshots of like completely out of pocket LinkedIn posts where, you know, each paragraph is its own sentence. And, yeah, I think it's doing something for me, and I don't know if it's good or bad, but I'm sticking around.
I love this about Reddit so much. Just things like that is what delights me about Reddit every single day of my life.
It's the best. It truly is the best. Okay, Adam, over to you. LinkedIn as a platform, love it, over it. What do you think?
I'm with Allison. I love it. It is so great to see a 20-year-old social media platform, an OG, like several of us on this particular podcast. They have 1 billion users now. They're almost at 1 billion users. And that doesn't seem too remarkable for a 20-year-old platform. What's really remarkable for me was that over 16% of those people log in every single day. 160 million people every day on LinkedIn. It is a B2B beast. It can be used for B2C, especially when you have 160 million people logging on every day. And what really I think is remarkable is that it has stayed relevant. 60% of their users are 25 to 34. And if you are wanting to be, or you're wanting your brand to be, a micro influencer, it is the place, I think, to do that. And they have been a really stalwart at associating that expertise with being able to identify experts and make them micro influencers. I think it's really powerful for a brand and for the user.
Totally. We just had Ariel Berlinski from Delta Vacations on, and she is phenomenal on LinkedIn and was so fun to talk to her from the brand perspective, but also her personal brand, just about how Gen Z is really taking over LinkedIn and building their own presence there. And I think it's been really fun to watch. So totally agree. All right, Jay, take us home on this one, LinkedIn.
I love it. I find it amazing and kind of a magic trick that they continue to be successful and growing, because we just lambasted Twitter for changing their product focus. But LinkedIn has done the same thing way more times.
True.
Right? So LinkedIn was all about groups, and then it was all about video. And they're like, no, video doesn't work anymore, right? Like, it seems to me that more than any other platform, LinkedIn seemingly randomly changes what works and why. Like, they were going to be a blogging platform. No, we decided not to do that. You know, they owned SlideShare, right, for a long time. They were going to be the repository for presentations, right? I mean, they have tried every conceivable business model. Most of them fail, yet somehow they are failing upward as a platform, which is kind of amazing to me. And I don't know if that's Microsoft's steady hand on the rudder, or just luck, or the fact that nobody else has any sense, since nobody else decides to go into B2B but them. But good on them.
Good. I'm here for it. I agree. It's been fun to watch, and I think we'll keep seeing it. We'll keep seeing the evolution, and it'll be exciting. Daniel, I think you've got a hot topic next. I'm excited to hear.
Hot topic, yeah. And I think LinkedIn, you know, they're just going to make the rounds of the different Microsoft products that they have in the stack. So they need a SlideShare for a while. Keep really curious to see what they do next with what are we going to be a Word document repository. All things are possible in the world of Microsoft. Let's talk about TikTok and or Instagram Reels, very similar products. Kick off with you, Adam. What do you make? Love it, over it?
This is a tough one. I think I love it for TikTok now, but I think the question is, what is its longevity? We've seen kind of ByteDance really trying to kind of seek that middle ground, especially here in the United States, as it relates to data. You know, they've committed to bringing all the U.S. data into the United States. They said they've spent $1.5 billion with Oracle to do just that. So that makes me a little anxious, longer term, my goodness, you can't beat the demographics. I mean, if you're trying to reach 18 to 24 year olds, almost 80% of them are on. If you're trying to reach 12 to 17 year olds, 70% of those in the United States are on TikTok. TikTok is kind of what I call your come as you are content. It's great short form video content. Reels are kind of more your casual Friday content. And I think Reels, like we were just talking about Threads and Instagram, the association with what happens with Instagram larger, I think really kind of hinges upon that. Short-term video, without a doubt, is a love it and is a win. I don't know if TikTok can sustain that for the longer term, but for right now, it's hot.
I've done a lot of shopping on TikTok, and I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of it. I bought some real crap on TikTok, but a couple of gems in there too. You know, and that may be an interesting sort of evolution for them. I don't know that I've done as much with Reels in terms of shopping, but I've done some damage on Instagram for sure. Allison, what do you think? Love it or over it?
It's going to be a love it for me as well. I think TikTok in particular really ushered in a new era of brand marketing, especially within the social media field, which has been very challenging, but also really fun to kind of figure out and test and grow alongside with the platform. I think like it's done a lot for our industry in terms of positioning social media managers as brand marketers first and foremost, and like putting the power back in social managers' hands to take more risks and to do more experimentation. And I think all of those are very positive value adds for us in the field. So for that, I love it. I think Reels is a little bit of a clunkier user experience. I think they still have quite a ways to go in terms of its usability, but I have no doubt that Meta is, you know, throwing all of the resources behind it, and it'll only continue to improve. And so it's a love it on both sides for me.
I mean, TikTok has kind of forced brands to really walk the walk of finally saying, "We are going to be audience first forevermore." I've been saying it on social for a long time, but on TikTok, I feel like in particular, it's really forced and given social media, social pros, the chance to kind of grab hold of that and really walk that through. Like, we need to be thinking about our audience first and foremost. What do they want? How do they engage with us? That's been fun to see.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of in like the 2014 era when brands first started humanizing on Twitter and writing in the first person, and it felt very jarring and confusing at first, and then that just kind of became the culture of brand social. And so I think TikTok has introduced that 10X of what does it mean to be an entertaining and engaging brand on social media, and how are you really creating content for entertainment first and marketing second? And I think those are all good additions to our industry.
Yeah, and Adam, I think you said it well, like come as you are content. And that has been, for me, the reason I keep going back to TikTok as a user, it just doesn't feel quite so manufactured all the time. At least not all the time, sometimes. Jay, what do you think?
Well, this is one I spent a lot of time on because for the Tequila Jay Bear persona in business, we only do Instagram Reels and TikTok. So since the last time I think I was on the show, I've published 300 videos on those platforms. We do 5 a week, so one every business day on TikTok and Reels. The TikTok algorithm is the best algorithm, period, right? It just – I don't know what they're cooking up in there, but it is the fastest algorithm to tune into your actual preferences and feed you content that you genuinely like, which I find to be amazing how powerful that algorithm is. Reels, although for me personally, Reels is actually a little bit more important than TikTok because there's way more tequila brands active on Instagram than TikTok. TikTok isn't as popular in Mexico. So for me personally, Reels is actually more important just from a business perspective. I think the TikTok experience both as a creator and as a content consumer is superior. But you think about, it wasn't that long ago that Adam and I would have conversations on this show. I remember us talking about this, Adam, where we'd like, oh, is anything ever going to emerge out of the ether to take a bite out of Facebook?
Right.
Right. And the general thought was, no, they have too much of a head start. Like you can't start a social platform from nothing now. There's no way. This is a closed garden. And here you have Musical.ly, which then morphed into TikTok, that essentially just came out of nowhere and is an absolute powerhouse and is not going to slow down anytime soon. Like we've all seen this movie. Yes, TikTok is very popular amongst youth, but so was Instagram, and so was Facebook, and so was Twitter. Every successful technology ever starts with youth and then ages up. And TikTok is very much in the process of doing the same thing. So while today the party line is TikTok is for young people, that's a very short-sighted approach to what TikTok is and will be. TikTok will be the standard, you know, the way that Facebook has been the standard. So I am all in on TikTok.
I've even begun to see in my For You page some amazing just AI content that is, it is B2B, but it is remarkably good content. This one influencer, Pete Huang, I don't know if you've seen him in your feed too. He just kind of breaks down sort of AI tools and how you can use them for all sorts of different use cases, B2B focused. And so I'm seeing it grow up before my very eyes. And I don't know if it is true, but I feel like the Reels algorithm is really good at showing me more specifically from the person whose page I was just on or whose reel I was just watching. Whereas TikTok, which is sometimes good, TikTok is good at showing me things that are like that from other influencers that help me sort of get to know other influencers and get to know their content. And for whatever reason, Tequila J, you have fallen off of my For You page. I don't know why. So I have to, but I forced myself to go manually find you. And yeah, sorry. I don't know. Maybe they sense I'm not as much into tequila as I am into gin. But
well, find tequila, find gin J, and you'll be fine.
Yeah, I don't perceive you're going to go into Gin J anytime soon.
No, that is because I think you and I have had this conversation. Many yes. people had that one night about tequila. I had that one night about gin. So yeah. The one content that I'm not going to create is gin content. I can promise you that.
Yep. It would be a one-hit show.
It'd be a very thin pamphlet. Perhaps. Yeah.
Might be a good one-man show, though. Just sort of a.
It would be one 20-minute harrowing story, and that would be the full swath of my content creation.
maybe you should unveil that on Threads. your return to the Threads platform. It's surprising we had unanimity. I think almost on these three questions: Threads or X, LinkedIn, and TikTok. Which it sort of leads into the next question because we've already talked a little bit about it. So we're going to leave our love it or over it pregame where it is. Those are the three platforms we wanted to talk about. So we're going to go into the first actual question, point of conversation today, which is all about change. Some of you have been on the show somewhat recently. What is the biggest change you've seen in social from the last time you were on the show or the last time you really kind of go back and think about the strategic plan you wrote a year ago, 2 years ago, 10 years ago, or when you hosted Social Pros? What's kind of the biggest change you've seen, shifts you've seen from then till now? And because we talked a lot about this on the episode with you, Allison, I feel like we have to start with Reddit. Reddit is the repository of change. I feel like anything happening anywhere in the world in culture happens in real time on Reddit. So I just feel like it's appropriate to start with you.
Sure. Yeah. Happy to jump in. The last time I was on the pod was summer 2022, which felt like yesterday, but also so much has happened in such a short amount of time. What sticks out to me is probably just the level of change in our industry. As we just touched on, Twitter is now X, Threads is now Twitter, TikTok is now Amazon. And this constant disruption has really forced social media managers to become even more nimble, if that's at all possible. For the majority of the decade that I've worked in social, there wasn't as much pivoting you had to do, at least not at the rate that we see today. For years, I think most of us were probably all well-versed on the same core platforms. You had Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, maybe YouTube in your mix. And they didn't change all that much every year. Yes, there were product evolutions over time, but it felt a little bit more sustainable to keep up with them. Now, especially if you are part of a small team like I am, we only have 3 full-time employees who work on organic social across Reddit and Reddit for Business. We're forced to really reevaluate and shuffle our channel stack in terms of priority and resources and focus nearly every quarter, if not every single month, based on what's happening in the industry. And I would say this has really ramped up in the last year. Product and algorithm changes are deploying faster than ever, and the speed at which you just have to experiment, learn, evolve is as well. And none of this is even touching on content trends, which are also moving at the speed of light in addition. So yeah, I think it's thrilling and exhausting all at once. But I feel like when I look back on the past year, what sticks out to me is just how much change we've had to adapt to and how quickly the adaptation has to happen to be effective at your job.
What are some ways that you build the trust in your organization that gives your small team license to just pivot and go do things that in a way that is responsive, that you don't have to keep, you know, funneling things back up the ladder to say, hey, should we do A or B? So, you know, because you kind of were forced into that position to some degree based on how quickly things change.
Yeah, I think, part of it is just having a proven track record of success. I think the longer you've been with the brand and the more you have to show for, the easier it is for your leaders to trust that you know what you're doing and you're taking calculated risks. Another sort of pillar of our social program is really comprehensive reporting. So yes, we test and experiment a lot, but we also document learnings extensively and report back on them. So I think having that accountability is really helpful in further instilling trust in the leadership of like, hey, things might look crazy, but we're testing and we're doing so in a very strategic way. And you'll be able to sort of reflect with us on what's working, what's not. But also I just think with TikTok especially sort of becoming a mainstay platform and how long it took so many brands to adapt to TikTok. And I'll throw Reddit in there too. Like we just joined last year. So I would say we were not at all early to the game of joining the platform. And a lot of brands had already carved out their space ahead of us. I think that was a real wake-up call for a lot of social media leaders of, hey, we can't sit on our laurels and sort of wait for the chain of commands to approve a new platform. We have to move quickly if we're going to be effective. So when Threads launched, I was sort of in that same cohort of like the first 48 people to join personally, joined for Reddit. We didn't want to make the same mistake twice of being the last one to the party. And so I think that nimbleness is a part of the game now. And I think that was very much demonstrated by TikTok and sort of the unbridled success its early adopters achieved that has been a lot harder to have on the platform in, the last year or so.
Yeah, that's super 40, number 48. That's amazing. I think I'm for 38 million. I was a bit late to the party. I was looking for parking, really bad parking, and I just didn't get in right away. So, you know, I'm in, but doesn't matter. We'll have to see on Threads.
I'll clarify, not 48 Threads member, 48 hours we were on the platform. Actually, it was probably more like 24 hours if I'm looking back on it accurately.
Got it. Jay, what do you think? So what have been the biggest change or some of the changes you've seen since, well, when we first, you and I first met some years ago, 10 or 12 years ago, probably, when you first started working on this?
I mean, I think to me, it's just the fundamental shift in strategy and approach. It used to be about social, and now it's about media. And that influences everything, right? It influences your strategy, it influences your metrics, it influences your creative, it influences your staff. It's all of it, right? So, you know, you go all the way back to, you know, Clue Train Manifesto and Doc Searles, who actually just lives down the street. And, you know, that whole super OG world that Adam and I sprung from, it was started out to be a place where you could have genuine, authentic, organic conversations with customers who before that had no opportunity to interact with a company or a brand in any context other than like asking to see a manager at an Arby's. And the idea, which sounds so incredibly hilarious to even think that this was innovative, but it was, that you could, as just a humble customer, actually exchange a one-sentence greeting with somebody who was actually employed by Krispy Kreme was like a mind blower, right? And everybody benefited from that. Let's just let our guard down and have a genuine conversation, even if it's through a keyboard. And then, of course, as Gary Vaynerchuk famously says, and in this case accurately, marketers ruin everything. And it became about, well, geez, if we're going to have to staff this, we better have an ROI, and therefore we better try to sell some stuff, and therefore we better have links in the post, and on and on and on and on, right? And now when I think about social as a discipline or as a business, I'm like, how is this different than the magazine business? How is this different from outdoor? How is this different from radio? And I find it difficult to actually make that case sometimes. It doesn't surprise me at all. It just is a little disheartening.
It's different, but is it, you know? It's just a different place. It's a different view of it. Interesting. Adam, what do you think?
I'm going to harp on a few things that Allison and Jay both shared because I agree with them, and I'm going to add a few things. First thing I want to say, though, is one thing that has not changed in social, and I read this last week. Hootsuite put out a survey, and the survey came out. One of the questions they asked was, do your managers understand, you as a social media practitioner, do your managers understand what the hell you do? 56% of social media practitioners said their bosses do not understand social. Well, that's been true for about 20 years or about 600 episodes. So it's good to see that social pros still has a charter and still has value. What has changed, I think you heard Allison and Jay said, I look at it as kind of a balance of power. I've always said there's kind of been an implied or tacit agreement between the three legs of the social stool, the user, the brand, and the platform. And typically, at least during most of my days, the tug of war was between the brands and the platform. What are you going to allow us to do? What are you not going to allow us to do? What are we going to have to pay for? What can truly be organic? And the users kind of came. They, you know, if you build it, they will come. I think what has changed today for a variety of reasons, but mostly because I think loyalty to a social media platform is quite feeble, is I think the user is in more control than they ever have been. And I think we're seeing now, as you heard Allison say, and as you heard Jay say, number one, the importance of genuine, authentic content, something that Jay and I said for years and years is so true. This move from it being social media to more of a media play, still so true. And I look at my personal social media usage, and this is, I'm saying this not because Allison is on the show. Reddit is by far the platform that I use the most. And I think it's because of something that Allison said earlier in the show. And that is because I follow topics and not necessarily people. That's just how I use it, and that's how I consume. And I don't know if I am a focus group of one, but the platforms that are doing a better job of that seem to be resonating with me most. And Jay mentioned the algorithm on TikTok doing such an amazing job of that findability, of finding content that's relevant to me, that I, again, think that's one of the reasons we're seeing this change here in 2023 to social.
Yep. And I also feel that Reddit does a good job keeping itself honest in that within the threads. Like the people just keep each other somewhat kind of focused on truth. And in the same way, it all works out on Wikipedia too, to a degree. Of course, there are cases when it doesn't, but yep, I'm with you, Adam. I'm a big proponent of Reddit.
More often than not, the self-governing works on Reddit and those and the platforms that kind of share that same philosophy.
Yep. Interesting. So started as social, now it's become media. And that's a theme that I think we pulled out of there. Hannah, why don't we move on to the next question? This one's maybe a bit provocative.
Yeah, let's get the people going. I think that it's interesting. We just talked a lot about what's changed. And I'm curious, if you had to start over, blank canvas, anything goes, where each of you would start. And Adam, I think you probably have a POV on this. So we'll start with you.
I do have a POV, but I'm really looking towards everybody else and their insights, because this is the situation that I'm in right now. I'm working to launch a brand, an IP that has never been in social media before. It's an established IP, but here in 2023 has not been in social media. And I really look at, okay, what am I going to do? Beyond a shadow of a doubt, the type of content that I see launching with is short form video. I truly believe, and Jay, you articulated this better than anybody, that is the content that that is leading the day right now. The challenges, of course, with it are it is expensive content, but it's relevant content. Because of that, you start looking at Instagram stories, you look at Reels, you look at TikTok, you even look at YouTube Shorts. And I think those are the places where I would be sharing that rich media content. I also think, again, marketer's fallacy, it's because I like it. Reddit is an important, I think, platform for me and the types of discussions that I see this particular IP really wanting to go for. So textual content, I would probably go with Reddit, but the visual content, and I think where the lion's share of engagement will probably take place, will probably be on YouTube Shorts and TikTok.
Absolutely. I think it's a good mix. I think the addition of Reddit in there is something that I think people will find interesting as a blank slate. Choosing Reddit from the gate, I think, is a great choice, but maybe not one that a lot of brands would make. So I think it's a really interesting perspective. Jay, how about you? Where would you start?
Friendster. I'd start with Friendster.
Not Classmates?
Of course.
And then I'd work outwards from there. It depends, right? So for myself, I mean, I really have started in the last year. And so we've selected TikTok and Instagram for what we do on the tequila side. But depending on what the assignment was, I can certainly argue that for a B2B operation, LinkedIn would certainly be a tentpole play. I have written multiple books that include sections around the power of interacting with customers and prospects in any kind of discussion board, forum, conversational venue, Reddit, and even just, you know, simple forums. I think that's a no-brainer and has to be done. But I will say, if I had to start today, and even if I started the tequila business today, I would start with YouTube. because it's the one place that doesn't really have a competitor, mm-hmm. right? It's not YouTube and for any kind of comprehensive video, as is famously discussed, it's the number two search engine in the world. In an AI-powered content nightmare, which we are about ready to enter, I think YouTube-style content is the hardest to disintermediate with ChatGPT. And YouTube is where people go to have questions answered. So if you think about a social strategy, first and foremost, I want to interact with customers who already want to interact with me and are asking questions about my business. And that's where you'd get into Reddits and forums. Secondarily, I want to be where people are asking questions about my category. And I think that's YouTube. That's what I do.
Yeah, I love that perspective. I think YouTube is one of those places that people either are in on or they forget about as a channel. And I think that's a excellent place to start. Allison, we've talked a lot about Reddit already, but I am curious where you would start if you could blank canvas at all.
You all are doing such a fabulous job of marketing Reddit. I feel the heat on me of maybe coming for my role a little bit. No, it's great.
She's going to say Snap. She's going to say Snapchat. I know she's going to say it.
I will plus one what Adam said about starting on Reddit. I think even if you're just there purely for listening, if you are a brand, you should 100% be tuning into conversations on Reddit that are relevant to your industry or your product. If you are a gin brand, you should be looking at r/mixology or r/cocktails to understand what are people not getting from the products that they're using? What do they wish was out there? What do they think about your competitors? And use that to really inform your content strategy, even if it's the content strategy that you're applying across other channels. Reddit's probably not going to be the place that you start creating content on, but it should be the place that you start gathering insights about your audience and what they care about. So thank you, Adam, for that. From there, in terms of content creation, I will probably echo what others here have said as well around starting with TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube. In terms of maximizing your time and resources, especially if you're a small team, you can get a lot of repurposed content out of Reels, TikToks, and YouTube Shorts in particular, which I think is very valuable. So I would also start with those. But yeah, I think between Reddit, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, you'll have your hands full, and it's probably a good enough place for me to stop.
I think that we've now formulated a strategy together, so that's great. Everyone listening can pick this up and know exactly where to get going.
We should be charging for this.
We should be.
Yeah. No, Hannah, I think I heard you say this recently on an episode. I mean, it does matter, of course, where you would choose to start, but wherever that is, just show up there fully and commit to it.
Yes.
And don't try to like flub your way through it, because everyone's going to notice, including your boss who said yes to this in the first place. So just show up and be there fully. That would be my capstone advice there. This has been a very rich conversation. I think we could probably go another hour or possibly two of this. There's so much that has changed and so much we could talk about. I think give people a time to digest and process all of this. It's been a good show, number 600 episodes of conversation on these topics, and hopefully 600 more to go. We
hear,
can't
hear
let,
to that.
Absolutely. Here come the cheers. We can't let you all go, of course, without subjecting you to the painful final two questions. Even if you've answered them before, you can answer them in a different way. You don't have to stick to your same two answers, but we would be remiss if we didn't do it. So get yourselves ready. We're going to toss the questions at you. I'll kick it off. And Jay, I'm going to start this one with you. If you were to give one piece of advice to an aspiring social pro, what would it be?
Learn analytics. Because whatever you think works probably won't work next quarter. And once you're done being mad about that, you have to figure out why that is. And in order to understand the why, you have to understand the math. And so while social on its surface feels like a very creative discipline, it is, but that creativity has to be rooted in math, testing, optimization, and analysis. So if you're not pretty good with a pivot table, you might want to rethink your social career going forward.
Maybe also an area where AI could possibly be a helper, a little helper elf in the near future anyway. Yeah. Allison, what would you say?
I would say to think about what your social media superpower is and more importantly, how to market it. One way to do this and what I did when I was starting my career was to really think about when you find your place in a flow state. And that's, you know, could be analytics, it could be copywriting or video editing. Flow state is when you're so immersed in a task that you lose track of time. And it tends to happen when we're doing that thing that we're just naturally good at. So I would say, think about what that power is. As social media generalists are expected to be well-versed in all the things, but having something that is uniquely yours is what's going to set you apart from the competition. And it's a competitive market right now. So yeah, think about what that sort of extra ingredient is that you bring to a brand or a team and really how you can sell that to a potential employer.
I like that because, I mean, so many times people say, hey, what is your work superpower? And I, being an introvert, I always hate that question. I'm like, I have so many superpowers, you have no idea, but I'm not going to sit here and begin to go through them. But I like that concept of the flow state, because there are certain things I'm just genuinely more inclined to spend my time doing given the choice. So that may be a good way to frame that question too. Love that. Adam, what do you think?
This is going to sound confrontational, but it's not. My piece of advice is not to focus on being a social pro. I think it's our combination of talents, of experiences, and all the hats that we have to wear as social media practitioners that make us part of this very, very special group of professionals. And like you heard Jay say with data analytics, focus on that. Focus on leadership skills, coaching skills. You heard how important that is to Allison as she coaches and motivates her team. Creativity, and most importantly, getting out of the office, life experiences. I think our life experiences can help drive the types of messages that we want to share with our fans, our followers, our detractors, our constituents. So focus on those things, and the social media proficiency will come.
I think that Adam and I share a brain, maybe, or a brain wave. I think I said something similar on my recent episode about not having to be a social pro and instead focusing on all the things. So good.
Sounds familiar.
Love it.
Sounds very familiar. All right. Second question. You all are familiar with this, maybe. You could have a video call with any living person. Who would that person be? Allison, we'll start with you. Who are you choosing?
Ooh, well, last time I said Larry David. I did know the caveat was they had to be living. Not that Larry David's not living, he is. But for this time, I was going to go with Anthony Bourdain. I think as like a master storyteller, that is just a skill that is so essential to being a good marketer. And I think hearing some of his untold stories firsthand would be the treat of a lifetime. I will also plug that we learned posthumously that Anthony Bourdain was an active and anonymous member of r/BJJ, which is Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. So clearly there is a plethora of stories that we have yet to hear from Anthony. So that would be sort of my asterisk of not living, but who I would want to do a video call with either way.
I love that. And because of who he is, we will accept that as your choice. All right, Jay, who would you choose?
Taylor Swift. It's not that I'm a huge Swiftie. I'm a tolerant Swiftie musically, but there's been a lot of pop stars in my life. But there's never been somebody who not only crossed over from country to pop, but from like musical stardom to like crazy, you're up there like with Jesus level of stardom. And it's all rooted in fan connectivity, right? It's all rooted in her audience feeling like they have a tiny part of her. And that to me is an absolute I've just never seen it before. It is extraordinary. It's incredible. I know she doesn't do it alone. She has a whole team, et cetera, but it really is something to watch. And I would love to just talk about her philosophy of sort of fan service and how to do it in a way that's so powerful yet. And to me, this is the trick. Still, even at this scale, feels so authentic. And I think there's a lot of lessons there for brands.
I agree. Somehow now also football stardom. So good for her. And I think that would be an interesting conversation. Adam, who are you choosing?
I think in the past, I chose Richard Branson. I think I picked Mark Cuban at one point during my social media social prose days. I'm picking Adam Savage this time, my namesake, one of the original hosts of Mythbusters on the Discovery Channel, and someone who, from a social media standpoint, has really reinvented himself. He's got, I think, almost 7 million followers, subscribers on YouTube, 1 million on Instagram. What I love about his content is it's the right level of produced and casual. His authenticity, his joyfulness, his humbleness really come through, and he's a master storyteller. I would love to have lunch, have a drink, have a video call with Adam Savage.
I love it. Great choices today. This was exactly the choices we needed for this episode. All right. Well, I think we're going to wrap up. This was so fun having you all here, and thank you for spending some time with us on our 600th episode. But before we let you go, I want to make sure everybody knows the best channel to connect with each of you. So, Jay Bear, where should people be looking to connect with you?
You can find me most frequently on Instagram, either JBear or Tequila JBear, or anonymously on Reddit under the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu category.
And Allison, how about you?
MySpace is the best place to find me now. I'll probably actually say LinkedIn, one of the platforms I'm more active on. You can just find me under Allison Day Byrne. That's B-Y-R-N-E.
All righty. And Adam Brown, where should people look for you?
I'm Adam CB just about everywhere, whether it's Reddit, Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, ADAM, Season Cat, B as in boy. Would love to see you.
All right.
And that's it.
That's it.
Everyone, folks, that's 600 in the can. We couldn't have done it without this group over the years, and certainly not without all of you in the community. Thanks for tuning in to 600th episode. Hopefully you've been here for all 600 over the years. Thanks for being part of what we do hope is your favorite podcast in the whole wide world, Social Pros.